Why did the Futars not hunt and kill honored maters on Gamu? It was Duncan's question and deserved an answer. We were told no orders were given. They do not kill without orders. She knows this. She is testing me. Face dancers also kill on order, she said. They would even kill you if you ordered it. Not so. That order is reserved for keeping our secrets from the hands of enemies. Is that why you want your own face dancers? Do you consider us enemies? Before he could compose a response, Belanda's projected figure appeared above the table, life-size and partly translucent, dancing crystals of archives behind her. Urgent from Shiana, Belanda said. The spice blow has occurred. Sandworms. The figure turned and looked at Saitali, comb eyes perfectly coordinating her movements. So you have lost a bargaining chip, Master Saitali. We have our spice at last. The projected figure vanished with an audible click and a faint smell of ozone. You're trying to trick me, he blurted. But the door to Odraid's left opened. Shiana entered, towing a small suspensor pod no more than 2 meters long. Its transparent sides repeated the glow globes of the workroom in tiny bursts of yellow light. Something squirmed in the pod. Shiana stood aside without speaking, giving them a full view of the contents. So small. The worm was less than half the length of its container, but perfect in every detail. Stretched out there on a shallow bed of golden sand. Saitali could not contain a gasp of awe. The Prophet. Odraid's reaction was pragmatic. She bent close to the pod, peering into the miniature mouth. The scorching huff-huff of a great worm's internal fires reduced to this. What a tiny mimicry. Crystal teeth flashed as it lifted its front segments. The worm sent its mouth questing left and right. They all saw behind the teeth the miniature fire in its alien chemistry. Thousands of them, Shiana said. They came to a spice blow, as they always do. Odraid remained silent. We have done it. But this was Shiana's moment of triumph. Let her make the most of it. Saitali had never looked this defeated. Shiana opened the pod and lifted the worm from it, cradling it as though it were an infant. It lay quiescent in her arms. Odraid took a deep, satisfied breath. She still controls them. Saitali, Odraid said. He could not take his gaze from the worm. Do you still serve the Prophet? Odraid asked. There he is. He did not know how to respond. Truly a revenant of the Prophet. He wanted to deny his first awed response, but his eyes would not permit it. Odraid spoke softly. While you were out on your foolish mission, your selfish mission, we were serving the Prophet. We rescued his last revenant and brought him here. Chapter House will become another dune. She sat back and steepled her hands in front of her. Bell was watching through the comb eyes, of course. Amentat's observations would be valuable. Odraid wished Idaho were also watching, but he could look at Aholo. It was clear to her that Saitali had seen the Bene Gesserit only as tools for restoration of his precious Tlilazu civilization. Would this development force him to reveal inner secrets of his tanks? What would he offer? I must have time to think. A tremor in his voice. About what would you think? He did not answer, but kept his attention on Shiana, who was replacing the tiny worm in its pod. She stroked it once before sealing the lid. Tell me, Saitali, Odraid insisted. How can there be anything for you to reconsider? This is our prophet. You say you serve the great belief, then serve it. She could see his dreams dissolving. His own face dancers to print memories of those they killed, copying each victim's shape and manner. He had never hoped to gull a reverend mother, but acolytes and simple workers of Chapter House, all the secrets he had hoped to acquire, gone. Lost as certainly as the charred husks of Tlilazu planets. Our prophet, she said. He turned a stricken look toward Odraid, but did not focus. What am I to do? These women no longer need me, but I need them. Saitali, how softly she spoke. The great convention is ended. It's a new universe out there. He tried to swallow in a dry throat. The whole concept of violence had taken on a new dimension. In the old empire, the convention had guaranteed retaliation against anyone who dared burn a planet by attacking from space. Escalated violence, Saitali. Odraid's voice was almost a whisper. We scatter pods of rage. He focused on her. What is she saying? The hatred being stored up against honored maters, she said. You are not the only one with losses, Saitali. Once, when problems arose in our civilization, the cry went out, bring a reverend mother. Honored maters prevent that. And the myths are recomposed. Golden light is cast upon our past. It was better in the old days when the Bene Gesserit could help us. Where do you go for reliable truth-sayers these days? Arbitration? These honored maters have never heard the word. They were always courteous, the Reverend Mothers. You have to say that for them. When Saitali did not respond, she said, Think of what might happen if that rage were loosed in a jihad. When he still did not speak, she said, You have seen it. Tlilazu, Bene Gesserit, priests of the divided god, and who knows how many more, all hunted like wild game. They cannot kill us all! An agonized cry. Can't they? Your scattered ones made common cause with honored maters. Is that a sanctuary you would seek in the scattering? And there goes another dream. Little pods of Tlilazu, persistent as festering sores, awaiting the day of Saitali's great revival. People grow strong under oppression, he said. But there was no force in his words. Even the priests of Rakkas are finding holes in which to hide. Desperate words. Who says this? Some of your returned friends? His silence was all the answer she needed. Bene Tlilax have killed honored maters, and they know it, she said, hammering at him. They will be satisfied only with your extermination. And yours. We are partners by necessity, if not by shared belief. She said it in purest Islamiyat, and saw hope leap into his eyes. Kel and Shariat may yet take on their old meanings among people who compose their thoughts in the language of God. Partners? Faint and extremely tentative. She adopted new bluntness. In some ways, that's a more reliable basis for common action than any other. Each of us knows what the other wants. An intrinsic design. Screen everything through that, and something reliable can occur. And what is it you want from me? You already know. How to make the finest tanks, yes. He shook his head, obviously unsure. The changes implied by her demands. Odraid wondered if she dared snap at him in open anger. How dense he was. But he was close to panic. Old values had changed. honored maters were not the only source of turmoil. Saitali did not even know the extent of changes that had infected his own scattered ones. "Times are changing," Odrade said. "Change. What a disturbing word," he thought. "I must have my own face dancer attendants. And my own tanks." Almost begging. "My council and I will consider it." "What is there to consider?" Throwing her own words at her. "You need only your own approval. I require approval of others." She gave him a grim smile. "So you do get time to think." Odrade nodded to Tamerlane, who summoned guards. "Back to the no-ship." He spoke from the doorway, such a diminutive figure amidst burly guards. "But tonight you ride all the way." He gave a last lingering stare at the worm as he left. When Saitalian guards were gone, Shiana said, "You were right not to press him." He was ready to panic. Balanda entered. "Perhaps it would be best just to kill him." "Bell, get the holo and go through our meeting again. This time as a mentat." That stopped her. Tamerlane chuckled. "You take too much joy in your sister's discomfiture, Tam," Shiana said. Tamerlane shrugged, but Odrade was delighted. No more teasing of Bell. "When you spoke of Chapter House becoming another dune, that was when he began to panic," Alanda said, her voice mentat distant. Odrade had seen the reaction, but had not yet made the association. This was a mentat's value. Patterns and systems. Building blocks. Bell sensed a pattern to Saitali's behavior. "I ask myself, is it the thing become real once more?" Balanda said. Odrade saw it at once. An odd thing about lost places. As long as Dune had been a known and living planet, there existed a historical firmness about its presence in the galactic register. You could point to a projection and say, "That is Dune, once called Arrakis, and latterly Rakis. Dune for its total desert character in Moabdib's day." Destroy the place, though, and a mythological patina invade against projected reality. In time, such places became totally mythic. Arthur and his round table. Camelot, where it only rains at night. Pretty good weather control for those days. But now a new dune had appeared. "Myth power," Tamerlane said. Ah, yes. Tam, close to her final departure from flesh, would be more sensitive to workings of myths. Mystery and secrecy, tools of the Missionaria, had been used also on Dune by Moabdib and the Tyrant. The seeds were planted. Even with priests of the divided god gone to their own perdition, myths of Dune proliferated. "Melange," Tamerlane said. The other sisters in the workroom knew immediately what she meant. New hope could be injected into the Bene Gesserit scattering. Balanda said, "Why do they want us dead and not captives? That has always puzzled me." Honored maters might not want any Bene Gesserit alive. Only the spice knowledge, perhaps. But they destroyed Dune. They destroyed the Tlilazu. It was a cautioning thought to take into any confrontation with the Spider Queen, should Dortwyla succeed. "No useful hostages?" Balanda asked. Odrade saw the looks on the faces of her sisters. They were following a single track, as though all of them fought with one mind. Object lessons by honored maters, leaving few survivors, only made potential opposition more cautious. It involved a rule of silence within which bitter memories became bitter myths. Honored maters were like barbarians in any age, blood instead of hostages. Strike with random viciousness. "Dar's right," Tamerlane said. We've been seeking allies too close to home. Futars did not create themselves, Shiana said. The ones who created them hope to control us, Belanda said. There was the clear sound of prime projection in her voice. That's the hesitation Dortuila heard in the handlers. There it was, and they faced it with all of its perils. It came down to people, as it always did. People, contemporaries. You learned valuable things from people living in your own time, and from knowledge they carried out of their pasts. Other memory was not the only conveyance of history. Odraid felt that she had come home after a long absence. There was a familiarity about the way all four of them were thinking now. It was a familiarity that transcended place. The sisterhood itself was home, not where they lodged in transient housing, but the association. Belanda voiced it for them. I fear we have been working at cross purposes. Fear does that, Shiana said. Odraid dared not smile. It could be misinterpreted, and she did not want to explain. Give us Mirbella as a sister, and a restored Bashar. Then we might have our fighting chance. Right there, with that good feeling in her, the message signal clicked. She glanced at the projection surface, a pure reflex, and recognized crisis. Such a small thing, relatively, to precipitate crisis. Clairby mortally injured in a thopter crash. Mortal, unless... The unless was spelled out for her, and it added up to cyborg. Her companion saw the message in reverse, but you got good at reading mirrored information in here. They knew. Where do we draw the line? Belanda, with her antique spectacles when she could have had artificial eyes or any numerous other prosthetics, voted with her body. This is what it means to be human. Try to hold on to youth, and it mocks you while it sprints away. Melange is enough, and perhaps too much. Odraid recognized what her own emotions were telling her. But what of Bene Gesserit necessity? Belle could lodge her individual vote, and everyone recognized it, even respected it. But Mother Superior's vote carried the sisterhood with her. First the Xlotl tanks, and now this. Necessity said they could not afford to lose specialists of Clairby's caliber. They had few enough as it was. Spread thin did not describe it. Gaps were appearing. Cyber Clairby, though... And that was the opening wedge. The Sooks were prepared. A precautionary arrangement should it be required for someone irreplaceable, such as Mother Superior. Odraid knew she had approved that with her usual cautious reservations. Where were those reservations now? Cyborg was one of those potpourri words, too. Where did mechanical additions to human flesh become dominant? When was the cyborg no longer human? Temptations intensified. Just this one little adjustment. And so easy to adjust, until the potpourri human became unquestioningly obedient. But Clairby? Conditions of extremis said, cyborg him. Was the sisterhood that desperate? She was forced to answer in the affirmative. There it was, then, decision not entirely out of her hands, but the ready excuse at hand. Necessity dictates it. The Butlerian Jihad had left its indelible mark on humans, fought and won for then. And here was another battle in that long-ago conflict. But now, survival of the Sisterhood was in the balance. How many technical specialists remained on Chapter House? She knew the answer without looking. Not enough. Odraid leaned forward and keyed for transmit. Cyborg him, she said. Belanda grunted. Approval or disapproval? she would never say. This was Mother Superior's arena, and welcome to it. Who won this battle? Odraid wondered. We walk a delicate line, perpetuating Atreides' Siona genes in our population, because that hides us from prescience. We carry the Kwisatz Haderach in that bag. Willfulness created Mo'adib. Prophets make predictions come true. Will we ever again dare ignore our Tao sense and cater to a culture that hates chance and begs for prophecy? Archival summary, Adixto. It was just after dawn when Odraid arrived at the no-ship, but Mirbella was up and working with a training mech when Mother Superior strode onto the practice floor. Odraid had walked the last click through ring orchards around the space field. Night's limited clouds had thinned at the approach of dawn, then dissipated to reveal a sky thick with stars. She recognized a delicate weather shift to wrench another crop from this region, but decreasing rainfall was barely enough to keep orchards and pastures alive. As she walked, Odraid was overcome by dreariness. Winter just past had been a hard-fought silence between storms. Life was holocaust. Dusting of pollen by eager insects, fruiting and seeding that followed the flower. These orchards were a secret storm whose power lay hidden in torrential flows of life. But oh, the destruction. New life carried change. The changer was coming, always different. Sandworms would bring the desert purity of ancient dune. The desolation of that transforming power invaded her imagination. She could picture this landscape reduced to windswept dunes, habitat for Leto II's descendants. And the arts of Chapter House would undergo mutation, one civilization's myths replaced by another's. The aura of these thoughts went with Odraid onto the practice floor and colored her mood as she watched Mirbella complete a round of flashing exertion, then step back, panting. A thin scratch reddened the back of Mirbella's left hand, where she had missed a move by the big mech. The automated trainer stood there in the center of the room like a golden pillar, its weapons flicking in and out, probing mandibles of an angry insect. Mirbella wore tight green leotards, and her exposed skin glistened with perspiration. Even with the prominent mounding of her pregnancy, she appeared graceful. Her skin glowed with health. It came from within, Odraid decided. Partly the pregnancy, but something more fundamental as well. This had impressed itself on Odraid at their first encounter, a thing Lucilla had remarked after capturing Mirbella and rescuing Idaho from Gamu. Health lived below the surface in her, there like a lens to focus attention on a deep freshet of vitality. We must have her. Mirbella saw the visitor but refused to be interrupted. Not yet, Mother Superior. My baby is due soon, but this body's needs will continue. Odraid saw then that the mech was simulating anger, a programmed response brought on by frustration of its circuitry, an extremely dangerous mode. Good morning, Mother Superior. Mirbella's voice came out modulated by her exertions as she dodged and twisted with that almost blinding speed she commanded. The mech slashed and probed for her, its sensors darting and whirring in attempts to follow her movements. Odraid sniffed. To speak at such a time amplified the peril of the mech. Risk no distractions when you played this dangerous game. Enough. The mech's controls were in a large green wall panel to the right of the doorway. Mirbella's changes could be seen in the circuits. Dangling wires. Beam fields with memory crystals dislocated. Odraid reached up and stilled the mechanism. Mirbella turned to face her. Why did you change the circuitry? Audrey demanded. For the anger. Is that what honored maters do? As the twig is bent. Mirbella massaged her wounded hand. But what if the twig knows how it is bent and approves? Audrey felt sudden excitement. Approves? Why? Because there's something grand about it. You follow your adrenaline high. You know it's not that. Mirbella's breathing returned to normal. She stood glaring at Audrey. Then what is it? It's being challenged to do more than you ever thought possible. You never suspected you could be this good, this expert and accomplished at anything. Audrey concealed elation. Mensa sana in corpore sano. We have her at last. Audrey said, but what a price you pay. Price? Mirbella sounded astonished. As long as I have the capacity, I'm delighted to pay. Take what you want and pay for it. It's your Bene Gesserit magic cornucopia. As I become increasingly accomplished, my ability to pay increases. Beware, Mirbella. That cornucopia, as you call it, can become Pandora's box. Mirbella knew the illusion. She stood quite still, her attention fixed on Mother Superior. Oh? The sound barely escaped. Pandora's box releases powerful distractions that waste energies of your life. You speak glibly of being in the chute and becoming a reverend mother, but you still don't know what that means nor what we want from you. Then it was never our sexual abilities you wanted? Audrey moved 8 paces forward, majestically deliberate. Once Mirbella got on that subject, there would be no stopping her short of the usual resolution. Argument cut short by Mother Superior's peremptory command. Shiana easily mastered your abilities, Audrey said. So you will use her on that child. Audrey heard displeasure. It was a cultural residue. When did human sexuality begin? Shiana, waiting now in the no-ship guard chambers, had been forced to deal with it. I hope you recognize the source of my reluctance, and why I was so secretive, Mother Superior. I recognize that a Fremen society filled your mind with inhibitions before we took you in hand. That had cleared the air between them. But how was this exchange with Mirbella to be redirected? I must let it run while I seek a way out. There would be repetition. Unresolved issues would emerge. The fact that almost every word Mirbella uttered could be anticipated, that would be a trial. Why do you evade this tested way of dominating others, now that you say you need it with Teg? Mirbella asked. Slaves, is that what you want? Audrey countered. Eyes almost closed, Mirbella considered this. Did I consider the men our slaves? Perhaps. I produced in them periods of wildly unthinking abandon, a giving up to heights of ecstasy they had never dreamed possible. I was trained to give them that, and thereby make them subject to our control. Until Duncan did the same to me. Audrey saw the hooding of Mirbella's eyes and recognized there were things in this woman's psyche twisted in a way difficult to uncover. Wildness running where we have not followed. It was as though Mirbella's original clarity had been stained indelibly, and then that mark covered over, and even this cover masked. There was a harshness in her that distorted thoughts and actions, layer upon layer upon layer. You're afraid of what I can do, Mirbella said. There's truth in what you say, Audrey agreed. Honesty and candor, limited tools now to be used with care. Duncan." Mirbella's voice came out flat with new Bene Gesserit abilities. "I fear what you share with him. You find it odd, Mother Superior admitting fear?" "I know about candor and honesty." She made candor and honesty sound repellent. "Reverend mothers are taught never to abandon self. We are trained not to encumber ourselves that way with concerns of others." "Is that all of it?" "It goes deeper and has other threads. Being Bene Gesserit marks you in its own ways." "I know what you're asking. Choose Duncan or the Sisterhood. I know your tricks." "I think not. There are things I won't do." "Each of us is constrained by a past. I make my choices, do what I must because my past is different from yours." "You'll continue to train me, despite what I've just said?" Odrade heard this in the total receptivity these encounters with Mirbella demanded. Every sense alerted to things not spoken. Messages that hovered on edges of words, as though they were cilia wavering there, reaching for contact with a dangerous universe. The Bene Gesserit must change its ways. And here is one who could guide us into change. Balanda would be horrified at the prospect. Many sisters would reject it, but there it was. When Odrade remained silent, Mirbella said, "Trained. Is that the proper word?" "Conditioned. That's probably more familiar to you." "What you really want is to conjoin our experiences. Make me sufficiently like you that we can create trust between us. That's what all education does." "Don't play erudite games with me, girl." "We would flow in the same stream, eh, Mirbella?" Any third-stage acolyte would have been watchfully cautious hearing that tone from Mother Superior. Mirbella appeared unmoved. "Except that I will not give him up." "That is for you to decide." "Did you let the Lady Jessica decide?" "The way out of this cul-de-sac at last." Duncan had prompted Mirbella to study Jessica's life, hoping to thwart us. Holos of his performance had ignited severe analysis of records. "An interesting person," Odrade said. "Love? After all of your teaching, your conditioning?" "You did not think her behavior treasonous?"
"Never."
"Delicately now. But look at the consequences. Akwitsats Hadarach, and that grandchild, the tyrant." Argument dear to Balanda's heart. "Golden path," Mirbella said. "Survival of humankind. Famine times and the scattering." "Are you watching this, Bell?" "No matter. You will watch it."
"Honored maters," Mirbella said. "All because of Jessica?" Odrade asked.
"But Jessica returned to the fold and lived out her years on Caladan.
Teacher of acolytes.
Example to them as well. See what happens when you defy us?"
"Defy us, Mirbella.
Do it more adroitly than Jessica."
"Sometimes you repel me."
Natural honesty forced her to add, "But you know I want what you have."
"What we have."
Odrade recalled her own first encounters with Bene Gesserit attractions. Everything of the body done with exquisite precision. Senses honed to detect smallest details. Muscles trained to perform in marvelous exactitude. These abilities in an honored mater could only add a new dimension, amplified by bodily speed.
"You're throwing it back on me," Mirbella said. "Trying to force my choice when you already know it."
Odrade remained silent. This was a form of argument ancient Jesuits had almost perfected. Simulflow superimposed disputational patterns. Let Mirbella do her own convincing. Supply only the most subtle of nudges. Give her small excuses upon which to enlarge. But hold fast, Mirbella, to love for Duncan.
You're very clever at parading your sisterhood's advantages past me, Mirabella said.
We are not a cafeteria line.
An insouciant grin flicked Mirabella's mouth. I'll take one of those, and one of these, and I think I'd like one of those creamy things over there.
Odred enjoyed the metaphor, but omnipresent watchers had their own appetites.
A diet that might kill you.
But I see your offerings displayed so attractively.
Voice, what a marvelous thing you've cooked up there.
I have this wonderful instrument in my throat, and you can teach me to play it in that ultimate way.
Now you're a concertmaster. I want your ability to influence those around me.
To what end, Mirabella? For whose goals?
If I eat what you eat, will I grow into your kind of toughness? Plasteel on the outside, and even harder inside?
Is that how you see me?
The chef at my banquet.
And I must eat whatever you bring, for my good and for yours.
She sounded almost manic, an odd person. Sometimes she appeared to be the most wretched of women, pacing her quarters like a caged beast. That mad look in her eyes, orange flecks in the corneas, as there were now.
Do you still refuse to work on Saitali?
Let Shiana do it.
Will you coach her? And she will use my coaching on the child.
They stared at each other, realizing they shared a similar thought. This is not confrontation because each of us wants the other.
I am committed to you for what you can give me, Mirabella said, her voice low.
But you want to know if I may ever act against that commitment?
Could you?
No more than you could if circumstances demanded it.
Do you think you will ever regret your decision?
Of course I will.
What kind of a damn fool question was that?
People always had regrets.
Mirabella said this.
Just confirming your self-honesty. We like it that you don't fly under false colors.
You get false ones?
Indeed.
You must have ways of weeding them out.
The agony does that for us. Falsehoods don't come through the spice.
Odred sensed Mirabella's drumbeat flickering faster.
And you're not going to demand I give up Duncan?
Very spiny.
That attachment presents difficulties, but they are your difficulties.
Another way of asking me to give him up?
Accept the possibility, that is all.
I can't.
You won't.
I mean what I say. I'm incapable.
And if someone showed you how?
Mirabella stared into Odred's eyes for a long beat, then...
I almost said that would set me free, but...
Yes.
I could not be free while he was bound to me.
Is that renunciation of honored mater ways?
Renunciation?
Wrong word. I've merely grown beyond my former sisters.
Former sisters?
Still my sisters, but they're sisters of childhood.
Some I remember fondly, some I dislike intensely. Playmates in a game that no longer interests me.
That decision satisfies you.
Are you satisfied, Mother Superior?
Odred clapped her hands with unrestrained elation. How swiftly Mirabella acquired Bene Gesserit riposte.
Satisfied.
What a hellishly deadly word.
As Odred spoke, Mirabella felt herself move as in a dream to the edge of an abyss, unable to awaken and prevent the plunge. Her stomach ached with secret emptiness, and Odred's next words came from echoing distance.
The Bene Gesserit is all to a reverend mother. You will never be able to forget that.
As quickly as it had come, the dream sensation passed.
Mother Superior's next words were cold and immediate.
Prepare for more advanced training.
Until you meet the agony, live or die.
Odred lifted her gaze to the ceiling comb eyes. Send Shiana in here. She begins at once with her new teacher.
So you're going to do it. You're going to work on that child.
Think of him as Bashar Teg, Odret said. That helps. And we're not giving you time to reconsider. I didn't resist, Duncan, and I can't argue with you.
Don't even argue with yourself, Mirbella. Pointless. Teg was my father, and still I must do this.
Until that moment, Mirbella had not realized the force behind Odraid's earlier statement. The Bene Gesserit is all to a reverend mother. Great Dur protect me. Will I be like that? We witness a passing phase of eternity. Important things happen, but some people never notice. Accidents intervene. You are not present at episodes. You depend on reports. And people shutter their minds. What good are reports? History in a news account, pre-selected at an editorial conference, digested and excreted by prejudice. Accounts you need seldom come from those who make history. Diaries, memoirs, and autobiographies are subjective forms of special pleading. Archives are crammed with such suspect stuff. Darwi Odraid. Saitali noticed the excitement of guards and others when he reached the barrier at the end of his corridor. Rapid movement of people, especially this early in the day, had attracted him first and sent him to the barrier. There went that Sook Doctor Jolanto. He recognized her from the time Odraid had sent her, "Because you are looking ill." Another Reverend Mother to spy on me. Ah, Mirbella's baby. That was why this rushing around and the Sook. But who were all those others? Bene Gesserit robes in an abundance he had never before seen here. Not just acolytes. Reverend Mothers outnumbered the others he saw rushing about down there. They reminded him of great carrion birds. There went an acolyte at last, carrying a child on her shoulders. Very mysterious. If only I had a link to ship systems. He leaned against a wall and waited, but the people vanished into various hatches and doorways. Some destinations he could place with fair certainty, others remained a mystery. By the Holy Prophet, there went Mother Superior herself. She went through a wider doorway where most of the others had gone. Useless to ask Odraid when next he saw her. She had him in her trap now. The Prophet is here and in Pawinda hands. When no more people appeared in the corridor, Saitali returned to his quarters. The identification monitor at his doorway flickered at his message, but he forced himself not to look at it. ID is the key. With his knowledge, this flaw in the Ixion ship's control system beckoned like a siren. When I move, they will not give me much time. It would be an act of desperation with ship and contents hostage. Seconds in which to succeed. Who knew what false panels might have been built? What secret hatches where those awful women could leap out at him? He dared not gamble before exhausting all other avenues. Especially now, with the Prophet restored. Tricky witches. What else did they change in this ship? A disquieting thought. Does my knowledge still apply? The presence of Saitali beyond the barrier had not escaped Odraid's notice, but she had other matters to concern her. Mirbella's accouchement, she liked the ancient term, had come at an opportune moment. Odraid wanted a distracted Idaho with her for Shiana's attempt at restoring the Bashar's memories. Idaho was often distracted by thoughts of Mirbella. And Mirbella, obviously, could not be with him here, not just now. Odraid maintained prudent watchfulness in his presence. He was, after all, a Mentat. She had found him at his console again.
As she emerged from the drop chute into the access corridor to his quarters, she heard the clicking of relays and that characteristic buzzing of the comm field and knew immediately where to find him. He revealed an odd mood when she took him into the observation room where they would monitor Shiana and the child. Worry about Mirbella, or about what they would presently see? The observation room was long and narrow. Three rows of chairs faced the seawall common with the secret room where the experiment would occur. The observation area had been left in gray gloom, with only two tiny glow globes at upper corners behind the chairs. Two Sooks were present, although Odraid worried that they might be ineffective. Jalanto, the Sook Idaho, considered their best, was with Mirbella. Demonstrate our concern. It's real enough. Sling chairs had been set up along the seawall. An emergency access hatch into the other room was near at hand. Stregi brought the child down the outer passage where he would not see the watchers, and took him into the room. It had been prepared under Mirbella's directions. A bedroom. Some of his own things brought from his quarters, and some things from the room shared by Idaho and Mirbella. An animal's cave, Odraid thought. There was a shabbiness about the place that came from the deliberate disarray often found in Idaho's chambers. Discarded clothing on a sling chair, sandals in a corner. The sleeping mat was one Idaho and Mirbella had used. Inspecting it earlier, Odraid had noted that smell akin to saliva, an intimate sexual odor. That, too, would work unconsciously on Teg. Here is where the wild things originate, the things we cannot suppress. What daring to think we can control this, but we must. As Stregi undressed the boy and left him naked on the mat, Odraid found her pulse quickening. She shifted her chair forward, noticing her Bene Gesserit companions imitate the same hitching motion. Dear me, she thought. Are we nothing but voyeurs? Such thoughts were necessary at this moment, but she felt them demean her. She lost something in that intrusion. Extremely non-Bene Gesserit thinking, but very human. Duncan had lapsed into a studied air of indifference, an easily recognized pretense. Too much subjectivity in his thoughts for him to function well as a mentat. And that was precisely how she wanted him now. Participation mystique. Orgasm as energizer. Bell had recognized it correctly. To one of three nearby proctors, all chosen for strength, and here ostensibly as observers, Odraid said, "The Gola wants his original memories restored, and fears that utterly. That's the major barrier to be sundered." "Bull crap," Idaho said. "You know what we have working for us right now? His mother was one of you, and she gave him the deep training. How likely is it she failed to protect him against your imprinters?" Odraid turned sharply toward him. "Mentat?" "No." He was back in his immediate past, reliving and making comparisons. That reference to imprinters, though, was that how the first sexual collision with Mirbella restored memories of other Gola lifetimes? Deep resistance against imprinting? The proctor Odraid had addressed chose to ignore this impertinent interruption. She had read the archives material when Balanda briefed her. All three of them knew they might be called on to kill the Gola child. Did he have powers dangerous to them? The Watchers would not know until, or unless, Shiana succeeded. To Idaho, Odraid said, "Stregi told him why he is here." "What did she tell him?" Very peremptory with Mother Superior. The proctors glared at him. Odraid held her voice to deliberate mildness. "Stregi told him Shiana would restore his memories." "What did he say?" "Why isn't Duncan Idaho doing it?" "She answered him honestly." Getting some of his own back. "Honestly, but revealing nothing.
Strigi told him Shiana had a better way, and that you approved.
Look at him!
He isn't even moving. You haven't drugged him, have you? Idaho glared back at the proctors.
We wouldn't dare.
But he is focused inward. You do recall the necessity for that, don't you? Idaho sank back into his chair, shoulder slumping.
Mirabella keeps saying, he's just a child, he's just a child.
You know, we had a fight over it.
I thought your argument pertinent. The Bashar was not a child. It's the Bashar we're awakening.
He raised crossed fingers.
I hope.
She drew back, looking at the crossed fingers.
I didn't know you were superstitious, Duncan.
I'd pray to Durr if I thought it would help. He remembers his own reawakening pains.
Don't reveal compassion, he muttered. Turn it back on him. Keep him focused inward. You want his anger.
Those were words from his own practique. Abruptly he said, this may be the stupidest thing I ever suggested.
I should go and be with Mirabella.
You're in good company, Duncan. And there's nothing you can do for Mirabella right now.
Look.
As Teg leaped off the mat and stared up at the ceiling Comais.
Isn't someone coming to help me?
Teg demanded, more desperation in his voice than predicted for this stage.
Where's Duncan Idaho?
Odrade put a hand on Idaho's arm as he hitched forward.
Stay where you are, Duncan.
You can't help him either. Not yet.
Isn't someone going to tell me what to do?
The young voice had a lonely piping sound.
What you're going to do?
Shiana's cue, and she entered the room through a hidden latch behind Teg.
Here I am.
She wore only a gossamer robe of pale blue, almost transparent. It clung to her as she strode around to face the boy.
He gawked. This was a reverend mother. He had never seen one robed that way.
You're going to give me back my memories?
Doubt and desperation.
I will help you give them back to yourself.
As she spoke, she slipped out of the robe and tossed it aside. It floated to the floor like a great blue butterfly.
Teg stared at her.
What are you doing?
What do you think I'm doing?
She sat down beside him and put a hand on his penis. His head tipped forward as though pushed from behind, and he stared at her hand as an erection formed in it.
Why are you doing that?
Don't you know?
No.
The Bashar would know. He looked up at her face so close to his.
You know. Why won't you tell me?
I'm not your memory.
Why are you humming like that?
She put her lips against his neck. The humming was clear to the watchers. Mirabella called it an intensifier. Feedback key to the sexual response. It grew louder.
What are you doing?
Almost a shriek as she sat him astraddle of her. She swayed, massaging the small of his back.
Answer me, damn you!
A definite shriek. Where did that damn you come from? Odrade wondered.
Shiana slipped him into her.
Here's your answer.
His mouth formed a soundless...
Oh.
The watchers saw her concentrate on Teg's eyes, but Shiana watched him with other senses as well.
Feel the tensing of his thighs, the telltale vagus pulse, and especially note the darkening of his nipples.
When you have him at that point, sustain it until his pupils dilate.
Imprinter!
Teg's scream made the watchers jump. He beat his fists against Shiana's shoulders. All of them at the seawall observed an inner flickering of his eyes as he twisted back and forth, something new peering out of him.
Odrade was on her feet.
Has something gone wrong?
Idaho remained in his chair.
What I predicted.
Shiana thrust Teg away to escape his clawing fingers. He sprawled to the floor and whirled with a speed that shocked the watchers. Shiana and Teg confronted each other for several long heartbeats. Slowly he straightened, and only then did he look down to himself. Presently he lifted his attention to his left arm held in front of him. His gaze went to the ceiling, to each wall in turn. Again he looked at his body. "What in the nether hell?" Still childish piping, but oddly matured. "Welcome, Golabasha," Shiana said. "You were trying to imprint me." Angry accusation. "You think my mother didn't teach me how to prevent that?" A distant expression came over his face. "Gola? Some prefer to think of you as a clone." "Or... Shiana!" He whirled, looking all around the room. It had been selected for its concealed access. No visible hatches. "Where are we?" "In the no-ship you took to Dune, just before you were killed there. Still according to the rules." "Killed?" Again he looked at his hands. Watchers could almost see Gola-imposed filters drop from his memories. "I was killed on Dune?" Almost plaintive. "Heroic to the end," Shiana said. The men I took from Gamu, were they..." "Honored Maters made an example of Dune. It's a lifeless ball, charred to cinders." Anger touched his features. He sat and crossed his legs, placing a clenched fist on each knee. "Yes, I learned that in the history of me." Again he glanced at Shiana. She remained seated on the mat, quite still. There was such a plunge into memory as only one who had been through the agony could appreciate. Utter stillness was required now. Odraid whispered, "Don't interfere, Shiana. Let it happen. Let him work it out." She made a hand signal to the three proctors. They went to the access hatch, watching her instead of the secret room. "I find it odd to consider myself a subject of history," Teg said. The child's voice, but that recurring sense of maturity in it. He closed his eyes and breathed deeply. In the observation room, Odraid sank back into her chair and asked, "What did you see, Duncan?" When Shiana pushed him away from her, he turned with a swiftness I have never seen except in Mirbella. Faster even than that. "Perhaps it's because his body is young and we have given him Prana Bindu training." "Something else. You alerted us, Duncan. An unknown in Atreides' marker cells." She glanced at the watchful proctors and shook her head. "No, not yet." "Damn that mother of his. Hypno-induction to block an imprinter, and she hid it from us." "But look what she gave us," Idaho said. "A more effective way to restore memories." "We should have seen that on our own." Odraid felt anger at herself. "Saitali claims Tlilazu used pain and confrontation. I wonder." "Ask him." "It's not that simple. Our truthsayers are not certain of him. He is opaque." "When have you studied him?" "Dar, I have access to Komai records." "I know, but..." "Damn it! Will you keep your eyes on Teg? Look at him. What's happening?" Odraid snapped her attention to the seated child. Teg looked at the Komais, an expression of terrible intensity on his face. It had been for him like awakening from sleep in the stress of conflict, an aide's hand shaking him. Something needed his attention. He recalled sitting in the no-ship's command center, Dar standing beside him with a hand on his neck, scratching him. Something urgent to do. What? His body felt wrong. Gamu. And now they were on Dune, and... He remembered different things. Childhood on Chapter House. Dar as...
as more memories meshed. They tried to imprint me. Awareness flowed around this thought like a river spreading itself for a rock.
Dar, are you there? You're there.
Odraid sat back and put a hand to her chin.
What now? Mother!
What an accusatory tone. Odraid touched a transplate beside her chair.
Hello, Miles.
Shall we go for a walk in the orchards?
No more games, Dar. I know why you need me. I warn you, though,
violence projects the wrong kinds of people into power. As if you didn't know.
Still loyal to the Sisterhood, Miles, in spite of what we just tried.
He glanced at the watchful Shiana.
Still your obedient dog.
Odraid shot an accusatory look at the smiling Idaho.
You and your damn stories.
All right, Miles. No more games, but I have to know about Gamu. They say you moved faster than the eye could follow.
True.
Flat, what the hell tone.
And just now, this body's too small to carry the load. But you...
I used it up in just one burst, and I'm starving. Odraid glanced at Idaho. He nodded.
Truth.
She motioned the proctors back from the hatch. They hesitated before obeying. What had Bell told them?
Teg was not through.
Do I have it right, daughter? Since every individual is accountable ultimately to the self, formation of that self demands the utmost care and attention.
That damned mother of his taught him everything.
I apologize, Miles. We did not know how your mother prepared you.
Whose idea was it?
He looked at Shiana as he spoke.
My idea, Miles, Idaho said.
Oh, you're there too. More memory trickled back.
And I recall the pain you caused me when you restored my memories, Idaho said.
That sobered him.
Point taken, Duncan.
No apology needed. He looked at the speakers, relaying their voices.
How's the air at the top, Dar? Rarified enough for you?
Damned silly idea, she thought. And he knows it. Not rarefied at all. The air was thick with the breathing of those around her, including ones wanting to share her dramatic presence, ones with ideas. Sometimes the idea they would be better at her job. Ones with offering hands, and demanding hands, rarefied indeed. She sensed that Teg was trying to tell her something.
What?
Sometimes I must be the autocrat. She heard herself saying this to him during one of their orchard walks, explaining autocrat to him and adding, I have the power and must use it. That drags on me terribly.
You have the power, so use it.
That was what this Mentat Bashar was telling her. Kill me or release me, Dar. Still, she stalled for time. And knew he would sense it.
Miles, Bersmali's dead, but he kept a reserve force here he trained himself. The best of...
Don't bother me with petty details. What a voice of command. Thin and reedy, but all other essentials there.
Without being told, the proctors returned to the hatch. Odraid waved them away with an angry gesture.
Only then did she realize that she had reached a decision.
Give him back his clothes and bring him out, she said. Get Straggy in here.
Teg's first words on emerging alarmed Odraid and made her wonder if she had made a mistake.
What if I will not do battle the way you want?
But you said.
I've said many things in my lives.
Battle doesn't reinforce moral sense, Dar.
She and Tarasa had heard the Bashar on that subject more than once.
Warfare leaves a residue of eat, drink, and be merry that often leads inexorably to moral breakdown.
Correct, but she did not know what he had in mind with his reminder.
For every veteran who returns with a new sense of destiny, I survived, that must be God's purpose, more come home with barely submerged bitterness. ready to take the easy way because they saw so much of it in the stresses of war. They were Teg's words, but her belief. Striggy hurried into the room, but before she could speak, Odraid motioned her to stand aside and wait silently. For once, the acolyte had the courage to disobey Mother Superior. Duncan should know he has another daughter. Mother and child live and are healthy. She looked at Teg. Hello, Miles. Only then did Striggy remove herself to the rear wall and stand quietly. She is better than I hoped, Odraid thought. Idaho relaxed into his chair, feeling now the tensions of worry that had interfered with his appreciation of what he had observed here. Teg nodded to Striggy, but spoke to Odraid. Any more words to whisper in God's ear? It was essential to control their attention and count on Odraid recognizing it. If not, I'm really famished. Odraid raised a finger to signal Striggy and heard the acolyte leave. She sensed where Teg was directing her attention, and sure enough, he said, Perhaps you've really created a scar this time. A barb directed at the sisterhood's boast that we don't let scars accumulate on our pasts. Scars often conceal more than they reveal. Some scars reveal more than they conceal, he said. He looked at Idaho. Right, Duncan? One mentat to another. I believe I've come in on an old argument, Idaho said. Teg looked at Odraid. See, daughter? A mentat knows old argument when he hears it. You pride yourselves on knowing what's required of you at every turn. But the monster at this turning is of your own making. Mother Superior! That was a proctor who did not want her addressed thus. Odraid ignored her. She felt chagrin. Harsh and compelling. Terraza within remembered the dispute. We are shaped by Bene Gesserit associations. In peculiar ways, they blunt us. Oh, we cut swift and deep when we must, but that's another kind of blunting. I'll not take part in blunting you, Teg said. So he remembered. Striggy returned with a bowl of stew, brown broth with meat floating in it. Teg sat on the floor and spooned it into his mouth with urgent motions. Odraid remained silent, her thoughts moving where Teg had sent them. There was a hard shell Reverend Mothers put around themselves, against which all things from outside, including emotions, played like projections. Mirbella was right, and the sisterhood had to relearn emotions. If they were only observers, they were doomed. She addressed Teg. You won't be asked to blunt us. Both Teg and Idaho heard something else in her voice. Teg put aside his empty bowl, but Idaho was first to speak. Cultivated, he said. Teg agreed. Sisters were seldom impulsive. You got ordered reactions from them, even in times of peril. They went beyond what most people thought of as cultivated. They were driven not so much by dreams of power as by their own long view. A thing compounded of immediacy and almost unlimited memory. So Odraid was following a carefully thought-out plan. Teg glanced at the watchful proctors. You were prepared to kill me, he said. No one answered. There was no need. They all recognized Mentat projection. Teg turned and looked back into the room where he had regained his memories. Shiana was gone. More memories whispered at the edge of awareness. They would speak in their own time. This diminutive body, that was difficult, and Striggy. He focused on Odraid. You were more clever than you thought, but my mother... I don't think she anticipated this, Odraid said. No, she was not that much Atreides. An electrifying word in these circumstances... It charged a special silence in the room. The proctors moved closer.
That mother of his. Teg ignored the hovering proctors.
In answer to the questions you have not asked, I cannot explain what happened to me on Gamu. My physical and mental speed defies explanation. Given the size and energy, in one of your heartbeats I could be clear of this room and well on my way out of the ship. Oh, hand upraised. I'm still your obedient dog. I'll do what you require, but perhaps not in the way you imagine.
Odrade saw consternation in the faces of her sisters. What have I loosed upon us?
We can prevent any living thing from leaving this ship, she said. You may be fast, but I doubt you are faster than the fire that would engulf you should you try to leave without our permission.
I will leave in my own good time, and with your permission.
How many of Burzmali's special troops do you have?
Almost 2 million.
Startled out of her.
So many.
He had more than twice that number with him at Lampadis when honored maters obliterated them.
We shall have to be more clever than poor Burzmali.
Would you leave me to discuss this with Duncan? That is why you keep us around, isn't it? Our specialty?
He aimed a smiling look at the overhead Comais.
I'm sure you'll review our discussion thoroughly before approving.
Odrade and her sisters exchanged glances. They shared an unspoken question. What else can we do?
As she stood, Odrade looked at Idaho. Here's a real job for a truthsayer Mentat.